Well, we always get excited on Thursday because that means it's the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. He is ready to go. He is, he's got football game to call on Saturday. Then he's got this big, huge Halloween party that he's hosting, from what I understand, with all kinds of great candy. Is that correct, Brian? Is that rumors true?
It's going to be an epic blowout, man. We got full-size candy bars at my house.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm headed your way. I'm headed your way on Sunday because I got to make sure that I get my chocolate. Today is actually National Chocolate Day, believe it or not. And to me, that should be on Halloween Day, but I guess we got to have a separate day for chocolate. So.
I guess so. Wow, that's impressive. You've always got the day of the day at your fingertips, the theme of the day.
Well,
that's impressive.
I'm full of useless information, as many people would say. Okay, so let's jump into it. Wow, nobody really saw this one coming. KU up 17-7 midway through the third quarter. I was headed to cover Substate Volleyball on the radio, or on the video stream we were doing, headed to Russell, Kansas, listening to you guys. Very exciting stuff. And all of a sudden, you threw it down to Brandon McAnderson, I believe it was, at the time, and you said, he reported that, hey, folks, fans, if you're in town, come on down. You don't need a ticket. Just come join us. And all of a sudden, more and more people went into the stadium. Probably the first real buzz for KU football in quite some time.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think it's the most fun we've had calling a game since the Boston College years ago when we had a sellout. But in this case, you know, while you did have some crimson and cream-clad Oklahoma fans, by and large, you know, they were sitting on their hands for the bulk of the day. And the student section doubled over the course of the day. And not that it filled in completely after that announcement that the gates were open, but there were a good number of folks that piled in for that fourth quarter. Unfortunately, a lot of close calls that didn't go our way, a couple of bounces that didn't go our way, and we didn't pull it off. But the overall progress that was so notable in really all three phases of the game, especially offense and defense, who played their most complimentary game of football all season, was just so encouraging. And you left the stadium feeling completely different than we did a week before. And we can break it down. There were certainly some things that easily could have bounced our direction and swung the entire balance of the game. But just the fact that we were in it when no one else was giving us a snowball's chance, and the fact that Jason Bean returned to September form, Devin Neal, your Big 12 newcomer of the week, and the defense, you know, making some timely plays, including one that looked to be enough to get a fourth down stop were it not for a legal forward handoff.
Well, let's talk about that play. First of all, I want to preface this by saying I try to be very consistent. Sometimes I'm not, but I try to be very consistent when talking about things that are very similar. And I'll use this for our fans out there who don't know what I'm talking about. K-State, when they played Oklahoma, oddly enough, K-State recovered an onside kick. They were down 10 at the time. It was in the third quarter, if I remember correctly. They were down 10. They had momentum on their side. Everybody's excited in the building, and they get the onside kick. But they were down 10, I repeat. And then they reviewed it, and they had touched it twice. The kicker did. It was kind of a fluky thing, just like the fourth and one handoff you're talking about, Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, they did not score on the next drive. And then K-State got the ball back, still down 10. And a lot of K-State fans were mad and yelling and saying that cost them the game. And I said, first of all, how does that cost you the game? You were down 10. And the reason you kicked an onside kick in third quarter is you couldn't stop the other team. So what makes you think you would have stopped them down 10? Because you need at least one stop when you're down two scores. To be consistent, KU, I've had seen some fans saying, well, that call on the fourth and one where Caleb Williams took it away from Candy Brooks and got the first down, which was a heads-up great play by the freshman quarterback Caleb Williams when Candy Brooks was stopped. It did look like forward progress was stopped. I see KU fans saying that cost us a game. I'll be consistent in my argument. It didn't cost you the game because you're assuming that KU is going to go score with 3 minutes left down five at the OU 46, and there's no guarantee that's going to happen. What I say is what it cost you in both those situations, it cost you an opportunity to come back. Now, the KU one hurts even more because it was later in the game, but it robs you of the drama and the opportunity to make the comeback, per se, but it doesn't mean it cost you the game. And in fairness, KU got away with a fourth and one that was stopped, and then forward progress is allowed. It's always fun how we focus on the play that goes against our team and forget about the plays that actually win in our favor. And it's just like your golf game. You know, you bellyache and whine about that 4 foot, that 2 foot gimme putt you missed, but you forgot you chipped in for an eagle the hole before.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think the difference on Saturday for Kansas was there were four other calls that could have easily shaped the outcome of the game, too. there was a block in the back on Kenny Logan that sprung them for a huge gain. There was a hold that wasn't called on the big reverse play of 66 yards. There was a little bit of a hold on the Jason Bean touchdown, but it was away from the play. You could call holding on any play that folks had issue with early in the game that took a touchdown off the board. We counted up five.
Horse collar. Wasn't there the horse collar? The horse collar on Bean? I was listening to you guys on that one.
Yeah, and like the photo evidence shows that his hand was outside the jersey, and so it wasn't a horse collar.
Okay.
But the way his body was ripped back so violently at the time, we sure felt like it was. Mm. And you know, it's the type of thing that usually you see called when a guy's neck twists to that degree, and that ended up being a 15-yard differential from the 41 to the 26, or vice versa, that would have led to a much easier field goal attempt. And so I think where Kansas fans' gripes come from, as much as I agree with everything you said about how we tend to forget about where certain plays helped us and only focus on the ones that hurt us, because you're absolutely right on the whistle not being blown, on forward progress being stopped from Jason Bean's short yardage sneak early in the first half. I think the difference for Kansas fans is it seemed like there was a mounting number of calls.
Uh-huh.
And the comparison I heard the most about was you know, Mark Mangino, Texas 04,
right.
BCS dollar signs, you know, and not coming on your show today to make that comparison or anything. But I think that Kansas fans' frustrations were justified. I think Coach Leipold's frustrations were justified. And he had a question on Hawk Talk last night about how it seems like you work the officials harder than any of our previous coaches since Mangino. You know, tell us about your strategy there. And he accepted the compliment in the way it was intended. But, yeah, it's kind of tough sometimes. And what's interesting, and this kind of goes into a little bit of your argument a second ago, I think that Kansas basketball gets the benefit of a lot of those little calls that could go either way in the same way that Oklahoma football does. And it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be impartial, and those things don't factor in. But many times, subconsciously, they do. And, in Saturday's case, I think legitimately, whether the horse collar was real or not, there were four other plays you could really have a gripe on that would have swung the balance. And yet, ultimately, we still had our chances. I mean, there was a forced fumble that was right there for the taking that we couldn't quite pounce on, that was right at midfield, fourth quarter, game-swinging type play. We fumbled it away ourselves with Stephen McBride right there at midfield. I mean, so there were numerous chances in three instances where Kansas could have made the break on their own. But as you astutely pointed out, give Caleb Williams all the credit in the world for having the presence of mind to reach in and grab that thing. You're taught to play until the whistle, and whether the whistle got swallowed in this case or not, he had the presence of mind to reach in and make something happen on a play that was going backwards. And so I give Rich Miller, the Kansas linebacker, credit for one of the biggest plays of his career. He won't go down as a tackle for loss because ultimately they advanced the ball. But I also give Caleb Williams credit. And as I said on the postgame show, that play could have been the play of the game on both networks' postgame radio show.
Yes.
Because both teams had individuals that thought they did exactly what was required of them. And a very controversial, very unusual, and hardly ever seen before play resulted in Oklahoma extending the drive and winning the game.
Talk about the heads-up play, though. I mean, Caleb Williams has nothing to lose by trying that. Even if they call it illegal play, it's smart because they were stopped if he didn't do it. I mean, that's just an unbelievable play for a young kid, a freshman, to do that. And Lincoln Riley says they don't he goes, I can't take credit for that.
Yeah, and he shouldn't. That was all the individual in the moment making it happen. And, you know, they're playing with smoke and mirrors right now, to be honest. You know, and that's not to take anything away from Kansas' effort, but we talked about it all week, how five of their first six wins were by 7 points or less. That was really a five-point game. We gave them a garbage-time touchdown so Kansas could get the ball back. Had they gone down at the one, they could have run out the clock. But, I mean, they've been winning by the narrowest of margins. And I kind of hinted at this on the broadcast for those, you know, puffed-out chest Oklahoma fans that can't wait to brag about the SEC departure. Be careful what you wish for, because West Virginia should have beaten them
and
didn't. Kansas could have beaten them. K-State was there. Nebraska was there. Tulane pulled close late. I'm not saying they should have won. But the point is, life in the SEC, they wouldn't be be 8-0 right now, my friend. They'd be 6-2 at best, and probably 5-3. And this is not one of their championship caliber teams. They're on pace for the playoffs, and they still may get there. But they could also lose two of their last three. They'll win this week. But Baylor in Waco, and then you got Iowa State at home, and then Stillwater after that. They could lose two of those three. And if they only lose one, they could still lose the Big 12 title game. This is not your typical 8-0, number two ranked Oklahoma team. And justifiably, they fell in the polls this week after that effort.
No, I agree with you. Okay, so what can KU take? I mean, they're going to Stillwater, a team that just had their undefeated season snapped in a loss to Iowa State. Stillwater, not an easy place to play. Yet you're feeling good. A lot of people on campus are probably saying, hey, guys, heck of an effort against Oklahoma. We're proud of you. Keep it going. And then you turn around, you go to Stillwater and get blown out. People may say, well, maybe that's an aberration. Maybe OU just completely overlooked Kansas. How important is it for KU to build upon this momentum after, you know, they got absolutely steamrolled in Big 12 play until the Oklahoma game?
Yeah, it's super important, and yet this might be the venue as much as any that you think, gosh dang, these never go well. I mean, Kansas hasn't won in Stillwater since 2007 in the Orange Bowl season, and most of the results, if you go back and look at the tally, I mean, it's usually between 4 and 6 touchdowns. And so they need to find a way with a very similar game plan, easier said than done, because I think Oklahoma State's defense right now is playing better than OU's. But a similar game plan of ball control offense, complementary football, where you're keeping their offense on the sideline, you're keeping your defense well-rested, your defense is fresher, able to make more plays. Jason Bean making good decisions, throwing well both in the pocket and on the run. If you do that, you can shorten the game and make sure some of these 60-21 type scores don't happen. When we've gone down there in recent years, they've just hung it on us in a hurry with these, you know, one play, two play drives, take 20 seconds off the clock, and they're in the end zone. And they don't quite have the same firepower as they've had in some recent seasons, but it's still pretty dang good. I mean, they got a great wide receiver transfer from Washington State. They've got a running back that's posted just like all universe numbers the last 5 weeks since becoming a starter. And Spencer Sanders is back, who can beat you with his feet and his arm. And so they've got a multitude of weapons, but I think for Kansas, it's the same exact formula. Shorten the game, ball control offense. You know, try to at least pick up 2 or 3 first downs on each drive, whether you score or not, because it keeps field position in your favor. It kills more clock. And if you do score, which keep in mind, we only punted once all last game. If you do score, you know, you got a great chance at hanging around to put a little scare into them. And that's what we're hoping for the night before Halloween.
All right, pregame 5:30, kickoff at 6 this Saturday on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. And hey, by the way, KU men's basketball starts on Wednesday, exhibition game against Emporia State. We'll have that one coming up Wednesday evening on Z96.3. And the game time's been announced for the Champions Classic in New York. KU is going to play the early game against Michigan State on November the 9th. So I talk about how busy that Dusty and I are right now with this week. You're just getting into your busy season, my friend.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a fun month in November. We'll be all over the map from New York to Orlando, back to New York the first week in December, and a lot of other places in between, including Austin and Fort Worth. But I'm actually sitting outside of Crown Automotive right now, which is one of my partners, so I can talk about this. Remy Martin's about to have a press conference announcing his new NIL deal with Crown.
Oh, cool.
And so, you know, you're going to start to see these more and more as we get into the season. And Remy, believe it or not, did not get to go to Big 12 Media Day because each team could bring two guys. And even though he was the preseason player of the year, McCormick and Abaji had more time served and seniority as a result. So it was one of those rare instances where the Big 12 player of the year preseason wasn't even there. But he will get his day in the sun here in just a matter of minutes. And so I say that to tell you, a lot's going on in Lawrence right now, gearing up for the season. These guys getting their brand bigger and their name, image, and likeness you know, taken care of as well. And I'm excited about this young man. I think he's going to be a great ambassador for us. So explosive off the bounce. If he can, which I think he will, adjust to go from being the guy that was asked to score 21 a game in league play a year ago to a guy that, you know, is only asked to maybe get you 15 or 16 but facilitate more on a team that doesn't have a void of other scorers. We've got a bevy of scoring options. If he can kind of adjust his game to that, these Jayhawks could be cutting down nets, and obviously all the preseason accolades will be doubled in the postseason. So excited to see what Mr. Remy Martin brings. And keep in mind, he's 1-0 all time at Allen Fieldhouse. Yeah. Not many could say that amongst Kansas opponents, but he can.
I remember that one. All right, time for the Off the Wall. Halloween is on Sunday. Today is National Chocolate Day, but we're talking about Halloween on Sunday. I asked Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest this yesterday, his favorite Halloween costume that he wore, whether it was yesterday or whether last year or when he was a kid. He told me he dressed up, they put it all together, it was his idea. He was a Rubik's Cube, which I thought was hilarious and funny. I'd love to see a picture of Matthew Derrick as a Rubik's Cube. And he said he'd actually solved the Rubik's Cube completely before, which I applaud him because I could never figure that dog thing out. What's your favorite Halloween costume that you've ever worn?
I'll give you a sports one. It's probably top three all time for me, but it fits the sports show better.
Okay.
Always been a huge fan of the movie The Natural. My dad and I watch it together every spring. It's my favorite baseball movie of all time. And so one year, as a little boy, I got to be Roy Hobbs. And it was all the way down to my parents had a baseball bat etched with the lightning bolt that said Wonder Boy. And I had the New York Knights hats and the number 9 jersey and the eye black underneath my eyes. And that was pretty special stuff that year as Roy Hobbs from The Natural.
I love it. That's a great movie. Fantastic sports movie. Fantastic. If people haven't seen it, they need to check it out. All right. Well, you enjoy calling the game on Saturday down at Stillwater, and safe travels, and we will talk to you again next week. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, brother. Always a pleasure.
Take care. See ya. That is Brian Hayden, the voice of the Jayhawks, and he is our guest thanks to our fine sponsor, Anderson Insurance Agency. They have farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.